Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, December 21st, 2015. Here are our top stories.
Tonight, Alex Jones breaks down Seymour Hersh's report on the war within the Pentagon. Then, Apple's Tim Cook on encryption. After that, Republican Lindsey Graham exits the presidential race. And
he is becoming ISIS's best recruiter. They are going to people, showing videos of Donald Trump insulting Islam and Muslims in order to recruit more radical jihadists. So
Trump isn't in an ISIS video, but guess who is? Bill Clinton. That's next.
I wouldn't want to attack Donald Trump. But, I mean, who knows if I could beat Donald Trump up? He might kick my butt. But I guarantee you I can kick this guy's butt. Because it's a straw man. This one's paper mache. It's a paper tiger. Real tiger. I couldn't take on a real
clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new groundbreaking gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Well, it's that time of year when we all look back and take stock of what's happened in the previous year. And, of course, for Obama, he's looking not only at that, but what he's accomplished with his last 7 years. You know, he's had Obamacare. He's opened up the border to try to remake our country demographically. But just in the last year, the New York Times points out his list of goals and his checklist. They say as Obama checks off a list of his goals that he's met, a nervous nation dwells on terror. And they list some of his accomplishments just this last year. He's had a nuclear agreement with Iran, an international climate accord, and a 12-nation Pacific trade pact, which, of course, really hasn't passed yet. But the New York Times and all of us know that that's a done deal. And so now his New Year's resolution is going to be gun control. See, what the people are concerned about is terrorism, but they spin that and they redirect that into gun control, because that's the one thing that he wanted to get done in the 8 years that he hasn't done yet. He's going to do it with an executive order. And we're going to talk about that. But of course, what he's going to exploit is your fear. That's the way they get you to throw away your constitutional rights. And listen to what a Virginia Democrat senator said, Senator Tim Kaine. He said there was a moment where he should have said, okay, people are afraid. We understand that. We're going to look at the people that are coming into this country. But he didn't, okay? Instead, as I said, they pivot to white males with guns, as we've heard earlier today, and they pivot to border gun control instead of border patrol. I want to play for you something that actually is kind of funny, but it makes an important point. There was an article up on the Daily Mail. What would happen if Donald Trump was an upper-class English aristocrat? They have a British comedian who overdubs his voice, says exactly the same thing. Now, I want you to listen to what he says without the New York accent and see if you can hear what he is saying.
I'm a big believer in the Second Amendment. The bad guys will always have guns, Barbara. So Paris, boom, boom, boom. If you look at California, nobody had guns except the bad guys. If you have three or four people like me, I have the right to carry. I have a license to carry. Yeah. If you had people like me in that room and somebody starts shooting, I guarantee you, we're going down shooting.
You are carrying a gun now?
No, not now.
Ordinarily, do you carry a gun?
A lot of the time, I have the right to carry.
Isn't it interesting that when you hear it said in the voice of a British aristocrat, spoken differently, there's a lot of truth in what Donald Trump was saying. That's why he is resonating with people. People understand the real issue is not the fact that Americans have guns to protect themselves. A real issue are the open borders, not even attempting to vet the people that are coming in from countries that we have fomented unrest and war with. Now, there are some things, of course, about Donald Trump that we should be concerned about. We've talked about that here. I've mentioned multiple times the fact that Donald Trump talks about using a kind of Chinese-style censorship of the Internet. And Rand Paul began the last debate talking about that. He says when Trump says we ought to close that Internet thing, the question is, what does he mean by that? Should we do it like they do it in North Korea? Like they do it in China? And so right after the debate, Sean Hannity got him on his program, and they talked a little bit about this, and they talked about the Internet issues, but they also talked about what Donald Trump said when he said we should punish the families of those who are terrorists. So they explore that. What's really amazing, I think, is what Sean Hannity says. Listen to this.
So I think when he says these outlandish things, someone needs to call him on it. So I was glad I did.
Yeah.
He says other things like, well, we should kill the terrorist families. So we're going to kill like their two-year-old kids, their four-year-old kids. And the thing is that to kill bystanders and non-combatants goes against what America stands for and goes against the Geneva Convention.
There was an exact... I'm not so sure if I agree with all the Geneva Conventions and whether or not other countries follow those rules. There's a different, separate debate.
Isn't that amazing? Sean Hannity, well, you know, there's things about the Geneva Convention that I don't really agree with. And the context of saying, are you going to kill two-year-olds and four-year-olds? And, of course, Sean Hannity and Fox News has jumped in continuously on the side of waterboarding. They don't have anything to say when our government attacks a hospital and shoots that up. So, yeah, he has a problem with not only the Geneva Convention, but with war crimes in general, and he won't say anything about it. Now, Obama is exploiting the fear of people, as we see with ISIS and other issues, but he's also afraid of something himself. What is Obama afraid of? Well, he's afraid of those blue-collar white men that he's talking about, and not just white men, all blue-collar workers, because they haven't done so well under Obama. He says economic and demographic changes in the country, including his own quote-unquote unique demographic, implying that people who don't like him, again, are racist. He says they've left a void that Donald Trump is exploiting. Quote, he says, particularly blue-collar men have had a lot of trouble in this new economy, you know, the one that Obama has created to destroy your jobs. He says, well, they're no longer getting the same bargain that they got when they were going to a factory and able to support their families on a single paycheck. Yeah, you can't do anymore. Can't do that anymore. Thank you, Obama. You know, these blue-collar workers could very easily, if they switch over to the Republican Party, and of course, that's the key, will they switch over to help Donald Trump win the primary? Because once he wins that primary, I think you're going to see a lot of Democrat voters, if that happens, you'll see a lot of Democrat voters in the general election who are working-class people, blue-collar workers who really understand how they have been totally screwed by this new economy that Obama has created, along with the Republican leadership. Let's point that out. They're working hand in hand with him in doing that. That is really what they're afraid of. But, you know, we need to remember, as Obama is going to push his executive orders to increase surveillance, as he's going to push his executive orders for gun control, it's really about people control. And we need to remember that we have laws. We have Geneva Conventions. We have international laws. And we have a constitution that they don't want to pay any attention to. A good positive sign that we are winning in many aspects of the information war is what this new senator, Ben Sasse, pointed out when he talked about how this is going to work if we don't shut down executive orders. Neither the left nor the right really have a problem with executive orders as long as it's their guy. And so we have to ask, you know, who cares about the rule of law anymore? Is anybody on the left? Anybody on the right? We have a new senator, Ben Sasse. He points out that the reactions of the Congress, and I would say also the American public, are just as reprehensible. Their reactions to executive orders are just as reprehensible as Sean Hannity's reactions to Geneva Convention being violated. Here's what the senator had to say.
Imagine President Trump has been propelled into the White House with 300 electoral votes, having won mainly by the force of his personality, by calling BS on this town, and by his promise to get things done by acting unilaterally. The first 100 days are huge. He signs an order that turns the Peace Corps into stonemasons to build the Southern Wall. He shutters the Department of Education, and by executive order, he turns the Department of Interior into the classiest oil company the world has ever known. What happens next? Would those who've stayed silent about executive overreach over the last 7 years suddenly find religion? After years of legislative atrophy, would Congress spring into action and remember its supposed power of the purse? And what about Republicans? After having raged against a supposedly lawless president, would many suddenly find that they're actually okay with a strongman president so long as he's wearing the same colored jersey they are?
And of course, Senator Sasse is saying, do you understand that if you allow Obama to do this, then you may have a president down the road that you don't like, those of you on the left? And we need to understand also with the issues. If you're going to let him dictate by executive order gun control, understand that he or somebody else is going to dictate further NSA surveillance and spying and loss of your property and shutting down freedom of speech. And we don't know which party is going to do that. Maybe both of them will do that. You have to understand the principle. And of course, this is something, and we're going to talk about the Democrat debate later in the show with Leanne McAdoo. But this is something that, again, came up in this last debate with Hillary Clinton saying we need to have some kind of a Manhattan-like project to control the internet, to surveil people. This is a major push by the government. Even after the Ed Snowden leaks, they are still continuing to push for more of your information. So hopefully the people on the left are going to understand that we can't move this way by executive action, that we have to stand for individual rights. Now, one of the ways that this is happening, of course, we had Tim Cook from Apple, the Apple CEO, talked about this back in June. And he said at the time when he was talking to EPIC, which is a foundation for honoring electronic privacy, he says, like many of you, we at Apple reject the idea that our customers should have to make trade-offs between privacy and security. We can and we must provide both in equal measure. We believe that people have a fundamental right to privacy. The American people demand it. The Constitution demands it. Morality demands it. And I would point out also, his profits demand it. If Apple doesn't stand up for privacy and make sure that they can tell people that your information is private, they're going to lose their sales internationally. And they will also perhaps lose a lot of them nationally, even though the American people are the ones who are the least understanding of the danger that this presents. Now, he repeated these charges this last weekend on 60 Minutes, and he immediately got some pushback. And I want to talk to you about the pushback, but first let's talk about whether or not we can trust Apple on this. Remember we had the leaks back in September of 2013, part of the Snowden leaks. This was put out by the German paper Der Spiegel. And they showed a series of slides that involved Apple at the time. And what they said, they showed the iPhone. They said, who would have thought back in 1984 that this would become Big Brother? And they show Steve Jobs holding up an iPhone and that users would willingly pay for it, comparing them to zombies. And so what they're saying is that you are a zombie. You're willing to pay for your surveillance. You don't understand what it's about. You don't understand the implications of it, and you will pay for it. They don't even have to put the Big Brother box in there. You will buy that thing from Apple. And they put Apple at the very center of this. And they also think it's interesting to note that they referred to internet users as quote-unquote adversaries. So whether or not Apple is providing backdoors to people, it is important for Tim Cook to say that they don't. And it is important for us to stand behind companies when they do stand up for our privacy. We need to understand that our individual rights are fundamental. Nevertheless, we have a Manhattan district attorney and a U.S. senator, one of the new senators, completely opposite from the new senator that I just talked about earlier. We have a Manhattan DA fires back after Apple CEO defends his stance on app encryption. And again, he said, if the government, this is Tim Cook saying, if the government lays a proper warrant on us today, then we will give the specific information requested because we have to by law. But in the case of encrypted information, we don't have anything to give. Now, why would he say that? This is fundamental for you to understand. Most of the government's surveillance is predicated on the idea that third-party providers like Apple or Google or others who handle your data, the phone companies, that once you turn over that information, once they get that information, those third-party people own that information and they can turn it over without a search warrant because it's their information. If they want to voluntarily give it, they can give it to you. It's not your information, even though they collected it on you, because somehow they're carrying it. So the way to get around this is through encryption, because he can give them the encrypted files. They can have a go at it, but they don't truly have your information except in an encrypted form. That's the only way we can get around this, as long as we've got a court that's going to maintain the legal fiction that when people create dossiers on you, that that is something that is really owned by Apple or by Google or by AT&T. It's not. It's not. That's a legal fiction created by the Supreme Court to get around our Fourth Amendment protections. And we need to understand what that is. And we need to understand that when you've got law enforcement people saying things like the company implemented the measure so that it could no longer comply with the judicial search warrants that make the work possible. He says iPhones are now the first computer products in American history beyond the reach of lawful warrants. That's not true. He says the result is crimes will go unsolved. Victims are left beyond the protection of law. And he goes on to point out, and of course, he didn't say this, but a senator said, now we can expect that Apple, Google, and Facebook will become the preferred messaging services of child pornographers, drug traffickers, and terrorists alike. Because, of course, they're the only ones who want privacy, right? Is that right? If you want privacy, you are a terrorist, you are a drug dealer or something. We should ask why the government demands privacy so much. Why their security, their privacy, their confidentiality, their secrets are so important that they will trash all of our rights, all of our property. Maybe they are drug dealers. Maybe they are the terrorists. And we know, in fact, that they are. That is a sad thing. And it gets even sadder. We see that Ted Cruz, it was even implied in the debate that he should be investigated. That's the kind of McCarthyism that we see coming from Marco Rubio, somebody who pushes an unbridled, uncontrolled surveillance state. That's the kind of McCarthyism we're headed down with this kind of insane security state. Now, when we come back, we're going to have Alex Jones breaking down the most recent revelations from Seymour Hersh, backing up everything we have said about ISIS being a creation of the U.S. military.
The Federal Reserve is a private banking cartel.
Yeah, Fed is a sometimes very independent organization.
What should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
The Federal Reserve is an independent agency. There is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take.
They print our money and then loan it to us at interest. The IRS is their collection agency.
So long as that is in place and there is no evidence that the administration or the Congress or anybody else is requesting that we do things other than what we think is the appropriate thing, then what the relationships are don't frankly matter.
Jeff Duncan says he saw IRS special agents using semi-automatic rifles at a gun range. Now he wants answers to why the agency needs that type of firepower.
Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge?
Know your history and you will know your enemy. Infowars.com.
I'm not gonna sit here and take it anymore.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well. And he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype. And I said, here, take some home, try it. Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing. He said, why does it work so well? And I said, listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself.
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Shane noticed the mental clarity. Bobby was able to work out longer and gain muscle mass. He's already completely shredded. I gotta admit, for me, the biggest effect has been libido. Now, I've never claimed to have a body like some beach model, but back when I was 20, 22 years old and worked out every day, I looked great. But over the years, and being married, having three kids, and working 18 hours a day, I gained basically 100 pounds. And it's been a long process losing that weight in the last 4 years. But if you look at the photos and the videos of what I looked like 4 or 5 years ago versus today, the results are dramatic. I'd already cleaned up my diet. I was working out hard, but I'd only lost about 20 pounds. It was adding the other key ingredients from InfoWarsLife.com that helped me personally go to the next level and shed another 35 pounds.
This has actually made me feel so good that here lately, about a year ago, I started training jiu-jitsu, and that kind of led to doing some boxing and kickboxing. I mean, it's amazing that 2 years ago, I was on the couch and couldn't even tie my shoes, and now I'm training with MMA fighters and just doing stuff that I never thought that I would be doing ever again. So Super Male Vitality has allowed me to do some amazing things, and if it has those kind of effects for me, I know that it will do great things for you. So just try Super Male Vitality. I promise you, you'll love it.
And finally, let's look at Anthony Gucciardi, InfoWars.com reporter. He also works with Dr. Group and others, helping develop the newest, most cutting-edge, high-quality supplements. Let's take a look at what happened when he tried to barefoot ski for the first time with the Steiners. And remember, we're not making fun of him. He had the will to get in the arena, and he's lost more than 10 pounds in the last few years of fat and gained more than 10 pounds of muscle. And Anthony chalks it up to Super Male Vitality as well. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Your agency was saying, quote, the Salafists, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Al-Qaeda in Iraq are the major forces driving the insurgency in Syria. Mm-hmm. In 2012, the U.S. was helping coordinate arms transfers to those same groups. Why did you not stop that?
It was a decision. I think it was a willful decision.
A willful decision to go support an insurgency that had Salafists, Al-Qaeda,
well,
and Muslim
Brotherhood.
A willful
decision to do what they're doing, which you'd have to really ask the president, what is it that he actually is doing?
That was General Michael Flynn several months ago on Al Jazeera talking about the fact that President Obama gave them orders to basically build up ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and that was the set policy. And the interviewer says, oh, you mean they didn't know what was happening? He says, no, they consciously told us to do that. Well, this is the information we had 3 years ago from military, high level and low level, giving us the same information. And the fact that General Dempsey, on the eve of airstrikes against Syria, went to the White House and said the military, from the brass on down, are not going to be Al-Qaeda's Air Force. And we saw Senator Ted Cruz go public. We saw Senator Rand Paul go public and make similar statements that our military and our people do not want to be Al-Qaeda's Air Force. Now, since then, we've had the schizophrenic or helter-skelter or oxymoronic policy, is a better term, of Turkey and other countries funding ISIS and Al-Qaeda and al-Nusra, and the West giving them weapons, TOW missiles, Stinger missiles, you name it, Hillary Clinton namely. Benghazi was just one part of that. It's ongoing. At the same time that the United States military and CENTCOM has been giving intel to the Russians, giving intel to the Syrians, giving intel to other people that are actually fighting ISIS. Now, we've known this. We've had CIA whistleblowers on like Tosh Plumlee. We've had Colonel Schaefer on to talk about it. InfoWars has been at the very forefront of exposing it. But now, in a review of Seymour Hersh, the two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, his new book, Military to Military, a London Review of Books, it's also in other publications like New Yorker, have excerpts of his new book interviewing other generals, as well as Flynn, breaking all this down. I mean, this is incredible. And mainstream media almost spins it like it's not a counter-coup happening with the military saying no to treason arming Al-Qaeda and ISIS. But that's what it is. And so then the State Department separately, just as Tosh Plumlee exposed 3 years ago, has to use its import-export power to order weapons transfers that's even above the Pentagon and the CIA. The military may have its problems and certainly, you know, aren't perfect, but they don't want to arm Al-Qaeda to murder every Christian group in Syria. They don't want to overthrow our allies, Egypt, and put the Muslim Brotherhood in that's Al-Qaeda-like. They understand this is directly against America's interest, and it's a war crime. And again, it doesn't even help our country or even our own elites. Why are they doing this? Well, the argument is if Assad's an enemy of the West, even though he tried to help us on 9/11 and other events, but still is his terrorist, if he's a supposed enemy, take him down regardless. But you don't take him down and then put people in that are 50 times worse. So there's a major fight going on for the heart and soul of America. And I got to tell you, I'm always hearing this talk about let's have a military coup, let's stop the globalists that way. Military coups almost always turn out worse than what you already had. But with the situation in World War II in 1944, when the German high command knew that what Hitler was doing was going to destroy Germany, that they'd lose millions of more people, that the Soviets were going to occupy them, that the Russians were going to come in, they moved to eliminate Hitler. Now, I'm not saying anybody should go after Obama because he's just a puppet, but the neocon globalist groups that he represents and the Clintons and others are steering this country towards World War III, not just in Syria, but in Ukraine against Russia. They are a clear and present danger. And I can only liken what's happening to a soft Valkyrie or a soft counter coup. Because it's not a coup. We already have foreign globalist corporate hedge fund interest and their front people, who aren't even military, playing with stuff that could cause World War III very easily. And it's our own military that's usually pushing for war in the days of Curtis LeMay wanting nuclear war with the Russians and L.L. Embitzer. Usually I'm like, let's have the statesmen hold back some of the war hawks at the Pentagon. It's the war hawks at the Pentagon, time and time again, quietly trying to stop what is leading, most analysts say, towards a larger confrontation with Russia that could easily lead to thermonuclear war. They call the Cold War World War III. So really, this is World War IV, a hot war that we're on the verge of. And World War I started in proxy wars. World War II started in that as well. We are going down a very, very dangerous path. But the good news is the globalists have gone too far. They've jumped the shark. I mean, it takes a lot of nerve. They've got to think we're really stupid to try to openly overthrow all these Middle Eastern countries, including our allies, create failed states in places like Libya and Syria. And then Hillary gets in the Democratic debates 2 weeks ago and says, oh, you know, Libya and Syria are right where they're supposed to be, a failed state. Breaking them up in pieces and then giving part of it to the radical Wahhabist out of Saudi Arabia. That is working with terrorists. That is opening the door to them. And that brings us into part two of this. Why would they bring in millions of jihadis, invaders out of Syria, people that came in to invade Syria into Europe, hundreds of thousands into the U.S., knowing they're going to attack? Well, they think we're so stupid that when the jihadis do attack, they'll take our guns, our liberties, our freedoms, instead of stopping the flow of the folks that are attacking us. They're going to use this threat. And MSNBC, The Morning Joe, just today, came out and said, don't worry about the Islamic threat. Worry about white gun owners. They're the big crime rate. Despite the fact, and we'll show some of these on screen, crime rates are down over 50%+ since 1991, and white males consist of the lowest crime rate of any male group. Look it up for yourself. But, oh, there's an epidemic of white males killing everyone. This is an inversion of reality.
You're telling Muslim Americans they all need to come out and talk about the tiny percentage of their community that has kind of, quite frankly, wreaked havoc. But yet, you look at the data of white men with guns wreaking havoc on this country. Why aren't white men all coming forward? Why don't you call on them to do that?
I'm doing a lot of things.
And finally, in the hypocrisy department, Hillary Clinton during the Democratic debate this weekend said that Donald Trump's being used in ISIS recruiting videos. The entire media checked it. It's not true. Turns out the Clintons are being used in ISIS recruiting videos. Turns out the Clintons have been giving weapons through Benghazi to ISIS and on other occasions. So this shows how dumb they think we are. Hillary out Brian Williams years ago, claiming that she'd been in Bosnia-Herzegovina, Serbia, and had been shot at in the air, shot at on the ground, and then they cut to the CBS footage. Nothing happened that day when she got off the tarmac onto the red carpet. She's a liar. So why is she allowed to blame Donald Trump for ISIS when out of everybody that's involved in this, she, as the head of the State Department, literally quarterbacked the operation?
What difference at this point does it make?
Now, David Knight's going to break down more excerpts of Cy Hirsch's book here in just a moment, right here in this studio. But we wanted to really focus in on this tonight because it's a big deal. This is going on behind the scenes, and it gives me a lot of faith that there are still a lot of good people in our government and in our system. But they need us, we the people, to stand up and support what they're doing as well. Because if the fact that criminals have hijacked our government are funding terrorists and letting them into our country to destabilize us ever gets out of the general public, it could cripple the globalists forever. We are at a key point now, ladies and gentlemen, and this is not a coup because the globalists have already taken over. They're illegitimate. The military is engaged in a stealth, very moderate counter coup against what the establishment's doing, and it is a big, big deal. And truth is stranger than fiction. I never imagined that we'd see resistance to this tyranny coming from these quarters, but it is happening. Alex Jones, signing off for InfoWars.com. Back to David Knight.
Thanks, Alex. And that was Cy Hirsch's Military on Military. He points out about military resistance to our government's policies in terms of arming and equipping ISIS. He says that resistance dates back to the summer of 2013. It comes from Defense Intelligence Agency Joint Chiefs of Staff, then General Martin Dempsey, all talked about how the fall of the Assad regime would lead to chaos and potentially to serious takeover by jihadis. They say they had an all-source appraisal. That means that it was coming from signals intelligence, from satellite intelligence, from human intelligence, pointing out that there was a covert U.S. program to arm and support the moderate rebels fighting Assad. It had been co-opted by Turkey. It had morphed into an across-the-board technical arms and logistical program for all of the opposition, including al-Nusra and the Islamic State, ISIS. The so-called moderates, he says, had evaporated, and the Free Syrian Army was nothing but a rump group stationed at an air base in Turkey. He said the assessment was bleak. There was no viable moderate opposition to Assad, and the U.S. was arming extremists. We've been telling you that for a long time. We'll be right back with Leanne McAdoo to analyze Saturday's Democrat debate.
You guys have the exclusive for, which is a product called Deep Cleanse. And why I'm so excited about it is it's a unique formula, almost like the iodine crystals. We have two unique products that nobody in the world has. One of the most amazing ingredients in the world, and it's called Shilajit, and it's actually known as blood of the mountain or rock sweat because thousands of years ago, as a matter of fact, this ingredient was only given to the elite of the elite. Thousands of years ago, up in the Himalayan mountains and in Tibet.
And we wanted to put this in stuff for a couple years, but we couldn't get an organic form.
Right. I mean,
so let's explain. I mean, this stuff's so good, we couldn't put it out for years.
Right. So I had to actually, it's kind of like the iodine crystals, finding a source deep in the earth that we could get the cleanest source available. But in Tibet and in Nepal and in the Himalayan mountains, thousands of years ago, they watched these monkeys, and during the summer months, the monkeys would go up into the mountains.
Now you're being racist against monkeys.
And they would pick this black substance from the mountains. And so, in Russia, they actually, it grows in Russia in the mountains and in the Himalayas and only in the summer. And Shilajit is actually the decomposition of up to 7,000 different medicinal herbs. So it decomposes, all these different herbs decompose in the Himalayan mountains and the volcanic soil up there. And what happens in the summertime.
So it's almost like an oil from.
Yes, it's high in fulvic acid, it's high in humic acid.
Because they're always claiming oil is really from decomposed animals and plants. There is some oil that is based from fossils, but most of it's really abiotic. But so this is a true fossil source? I mean, explain it to me.
It is it's really the decomposition, like I said, of over 7,000 different medicinal herbs and plants, and with the rocks and the pressure deep in the mountains, it freezes and during the summertime and the pressures build it up.
It oozes out.
It oozes out. So it literally oozes out of the mountain.
It's like rock sap.
It's like rock sap. It's black and it's highly nutritious. Even in the 1980s when the Olympic athletes in Russia were accused of being on steroids, they found out that they were actually been given Shilajit because it works as an anabolic as well. and it builds muscles. It's a big dose in there. The second big main ingredient in there is a volcanic zeolite concentrate. And what this formula is designed to do, the shilajit and the zeolites have a real strong negative charge. All the metals and chemicals and PCBs and VOCs have positive charges. So these go in, they grab it, and then they safely eliminate it through the body so you can become healthy. I mean, this is an amazing formula. I wish I actually had it, but because this was an exclusive InfoWars Life product, you're the only one in the world that has this formula now. And, you know, there is going to be a limited supply available when you sell out because you can only harvest this once a year.
How do people take it? How is it recommended that this be done? Just a daily dose?
Yeah, daily dose. The instructions are on the label. You know, of course, I kind of modify it for each individual. It depends on what your lifestyle is. I mean, honestly, the best thing to do is for you to avoid all these chemicals and toxins in your environment and try to identify them and start slowly reducing them. But personally, I'm going to probably take it every day, every other day, and I'll probably go with about a dropper full to maybe two dropper fulls. And I don't expose myself to any chemicals.
InfoWarsLife.com. Please also support our local AM and FM affiliates. Support their local sponsors or become a sponsor and spread the word. Because these aren't just great products. This is how we fund this independent operation. We're not taxpayer funded like MSNBC or NPR, and neither is your local station. So support them, folks. This is a war.
Joining me in studio now is Leanne McAdoo. We're going to talk about the Democrat debate. You may or may not have realized that there was one on Saturday. Of course, Leanne, it was by design.
Yeah.
The very last Saturday before Christmas. And of course, there were, if you weren't out shopping, if you were watching ball games, you probably didn't know or care about this Democrat debate. That was by design.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there was an article that came out talking about, and it was linked on the Drudge Report, Hillary Clinton and the awful risk of winning ugly. That's what they're talking about in this article. And they're not talking about the way she dressed, because I tweeted this out with this outfit that she had when she came back, because, you know, she took a bathroom break and then she comes back, she throws her hands up in the air like, so what? I was over a minute late coming back from break. And I said, you know, she's got a bold new look, kind of moving away from that pink polyester pantsuit look she had. This is kind of a cross between a burlap hijab and a Chairman Mao look, you know, but
yeah.
It's really the arrogance that's there. Okay. And it's really the arrogance in the way that she's colluded with Debbie Wasserman Schill in terms of setting up the DNC
right.
as her own private organization. And this is something that I think could very easily fracture the Democrat Party. Bernie Sanders could and should run as a third party. He can run very comfortably with the Green Party. He's always declared himself as an independent socialist. He ought to run as a third party.
Right. Well, and that's what I suggested as well. But, you know, if you didn't tune into the Democratic debate, you really didn't miss much because it was more of the same. These debates are an opportunity for the candidates to show how they're different. But it's just, it was another love fest where mm-hmm. they're all just agreeing mm-hmm. with each other and apologizing. And, oh, first, let me take this opportunity to say what a great First Lady Clinton was and how she just redesign the whole role. And
Bernie Sanders just totally laid down. I mean, it looked like things were going to be really hot.
Right.
On Friday, his campaign manager got up. He was visibly shaking. He was so angry because they had shut down their access to the voter information.
Right.
And that was key for the Sanders campaign. They've gotten a record number of individual contributors, breaking Barack Obama's record number of individual
right.
contributors. But of course, all she really needs are a few Wall Street brokers, a few military industrial complex people to just wipe out all of that. And it doesn't really matter what they do in the primaries and the caucuses because she's got the DNC tied up with the superdelegates.
Right. And this was a great opportunity for Sanders to point that out. But he really just kind of handed it over mm-hmm. to her. He apologized for that within the first
yeah.
10 minutes. I mean, it's not as if they breached the wall. The firewall was down. And so this hopefully is going to give voters kind of a peek behind the curtain there at the DNC mm-hmm. to see how they really are all in for Clinton. They've repeatedly ignored numerous controversies surrounding Hillary Clinton. But here with this, they made a huge deal of it, leaked some information to the press immediately.
Exactly. So, as they point out in this article, they said, you know, this would not have happened without the approval of the Clinton surrogate, you know, and without the approval of Hillary Clinton as well. And of course, Debbie Wasserman Schultz or Schill, however you want to pronounce her last name. she was a campaign manager for Clinton back in 2008. She's still her campaign manager.
Wow.
But she's in charge of the DNC. And it was absolutely amazing to me to watch him just, roll over and die as he did when those Black Lives Matter people took over his stage. I mean, he has a legitimate right to stand there and say, look, you want a forum? I'm not cutting down on your freedom of speech, but I have set this time and place up. I have this opportunity here to talk to people. Do it somewhere else, you know, do it on your own time. But that's the key. And that's what they're talking about here. If she wants to ram this down, the sizable number of people who are supporting Bernie Sanders, if she wants to ram it down their throat, at the very least, they're not going to be enthusiastic Clinton voters.
Right. Well, and she kind of, the DNC stepped away from that tactic because they saw that it was obviously riling up the base, but not in their favor. It was making
the base energized in a different way.
And it was pointing out that, you know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz completely has ignored all of the controversy surrounding Clinton. So that was one of the big things. Obviously, everyone went after Trump. O'Malley called him a fascist. And then Clinton goes after him, basically saying that Trump is becoming ISIS's best recruiter. She talks about how they're going to people showing videos of Donald Trump insulting Islam and Muslims in order to recruit more radical jihadists. Well, obviously, she makes this argument. It's fact-checked. It's there is no video that exists. But what does exist is an ISIS recruitment video featuring Bill Clinton. So, of course, this surfaces, right? This was a 4-minute video released last month entitled No Respite, and it includes an image of Bill Clinton, and they call him a fornicator. And obviously that's in reference to his affair with Monica Lewinsky and others. But it also features President Obama and former President George W. Bush. They're called liars and basically making fun of the high-quality U.S. military that's ineffectual against Muslim countries. So she does this with Trump, and it's actually her husband that's being used to recruit jihadists.
Quite frankly, no matter what you say or do, there's nothing you could do to recruit more people for ISIS than to indiscriminately bomb civilian meetings, weddings and funerals and so forth and so on, and pretend at the same time, tell everybody that you have this super high-tech capability of pinpoint accuracy. What you're telling people then is you're doing it deliberately, and maybe they are, because we saw them deliberately target a Doctors Without Borders hospital in Afghanistan, attack it for 30 minutes, even though it was a well-known, well-publicized location. They had notified the Pentagon as well as the Afghan government numerous times. They continued that attack for 30 minutes. There's video of them shooting people running from the hospital, doctors and nurses and patients running from the hospital, targeting them with a machine gun fire. The same type of thing that we saw leaked by Manning in terms of, so this is an ongoing policy. That's what recruits people for ISIS.
Exactly.
And of course, they're equipped by Hillary Clinton through the Benghazi types of events.
Right. Well, and we know also too, International Business Times reported how the Clinton Foundation and her State Department, they approved nearly double the amount of arms sales to those same 20 countries, more than double what President George W. Bush. And of course, there's the weapons deal controversies there with her State Department role, foreign donations from Saudi Arabia. So, I mean, she says that she's tough on guns. Meanwhile, she's approving all of these billion-dollar arms deals. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just a huge hypocrite.
That's the most amazing thing is how they continue to ignore the elephant in the room, the most obvious thing in the room, just as Alex Jones just talked about in the last segment, that Seymour Hersh is now pointing out that there's this internecine fighting going on within the military, within the intelligence communities, because they know what we've been reporting for a very long time, that this is a deliberate arming and creation of these jihadi surrogates. Mm-hmm. And that's something that CIA has been doing for a very long time, but it's never been more obvious. But everybody ignores it in the mainstream press. They ignore it in the debates. Whether it's Democrat or Republican, they ignore it.
Right. And they can say one thing, and if you don't go after them and fact check them or do some additional research, you might just take them at their word. And so President Obama did a radio interview talking about how Trump was people were basically supporting Trump because they didn't like the fact that there was a black president. You know, meanwhile,
trying to make it racist.
One of the top Republican candidates is a black man, Ben Carson. Mm-hmm. So obviously they don't have an issue with having another black president. You know, but there's just other things as well.
Yeah, the only reason that we would be concerned about people coming from a war-torn area that's being controlled by radical jihadis, the only reason we would have a problem with it is because we're racist.
Right.
And, of course, Islam is not a race.
And also talking about how they're just wanting to exploit fears of blue-collar workers. as well, and that's what's riling up Trump supporters, when this omnibus bill that was a largely Democrat Christmas present is what is truly threatening blue-collar workers and what they really should be afraid of, and that's not a threat. It's something that is now signed in. It's going to almost quadruple the amount of H-2 B worker visas, which are going to be people specifically coming for blue-collar jobs.
As I mentioned in the first segment, Obama is very aware of how his policies have devastated that segment. And, of course, all this is about creating voter blocks. Mm-hmm. And he's very worried that these blue-collar Democrats are going to become Trump Democrats like they became Reagan Democrats. And that's the true fear here.
Yeah.
It's not, that Trump is creating fear. No, Obama is afraid of the blowback of his policies here in America with that particular demographic.
Right. And I also thought it was very telling when they asked Hillary Clinton, should corporate America like Hillary Clinton? And she said, everybody should. So that was just very telling. Obviously, she's going to say that she's going to fight against Wall Street, you know, fight for the middle class and all that. But then she kind of winks and nods to the corporations and Wall Street. Everyone's going to like a Clinton president.
Well, the arrogance and the criminality of Hillary Clinton is just incredibly obvious. That's what this article from The Week that Drudge linked to is talking about when it says winning ugly. We're not talking about her appearance. But of course, when we come back from the break, we're going to have some people who do make fun of her appearance, make fun of her policies, make fun of her long criminal history. We're going to show you some of the entries from the Alex Jones Hillary contest. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139. Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and cannot be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutrimedical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosylcobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
Back in April of 2015, 55 civil society organizations, security experts, and academics signed a letter opposing CISA. Then in October of 2015, the Senate passed the Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act by a vote of 74-21. That act quietly slipped its way into the government funding omnibus bill that was recently signed into law by President Obama. However, the CISA privacy provisions added to the omnibus stripped even more privacy protections than the October version. They took a bad bill and they made it worse, says Robin Green, policy counsel for the Open Technology Institute. Essentially, Warrantless searches of anyone's private information will be shared between third-party companies and a whole new host of federal agency portals, local police fusion centers, and as a side effect, foreign hackers. Wired reports, the earlier bill had only allowed that back-channel use of the data for law enforcement in cases of imminent threats, while the new bill requires just a specific threat, potentially allowing the search of the data for any specific terms regardless of timelines.
The fact is, not every bill with cybersecurity in the title is necessarily a good idea. I believe this bill will do little to make Americans safer, but will potentially reduce the personal privacy of millions of Americans in a very substantial way. The groups that I'm talking about are ones with members who have companies with millions and millions of customers. And they're saying they can't support this bill at this time. I think I know why. These companies who didn't have a problem with previous kinds of versions of this legislation are saying they don't support it. These companies, Mr. President, are hearing from their customers. And they're worried that their customers are saying, this doesn't look like it's going to protect our privacy. Of course we want to be safe. We also want to have our liberty. Ben Franklin famously said anyone who gives up their liberty to have security really doesn't deserve either.
In 2013, declassified documents revealed that the NSA had been scooping up thousands of emails of citizens it wasn't allowed to target. Simply put, if the government has any concern, whether real or imagined, about John Q. Public, they can easily raid any and everything Mr. Public shares online, and there is nothing John Q. can do about it. Emails, financial information, political philosophy, all of this done in the name of the CIA's blockbuster fail, The Interview, after Americans were sold the propaganda that North Korea had hacked Hollywood. Americans are now surveilled from the skies, wiretapped through their cell phones. Energy usage is gathered by smart meters for the inevitable carbon taxation coming, and all personal documents and information are devoured online without Americans' consent. This makes the East German secret police, the Stasi, look like the Cub Scouts. Completely unconstitutional, completely un-American, and illegal. Dealing a final death blow to the Fourth Amendment. Solutions for the time being? Use a VPN service and change your DNS server. It won't be long before you are officially informed that you are no longer an American citizen. Your new self-identity is as the property of the New World Order. God bless what's left of America. John Bound for InfoWars.com.
Well, Hillary Clinton knows Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. She wrote a thesis on it when she was in college. They kept that embargoed while Bill Clinton was running and while he was in the presidency. But number six was about ridicule. Ridicule is man's most potent weapon. And in that spirit, we have sponsored a contest to ridicule Hillary Clinton. It's such a target-rich environment. And tonight we have a lot of the entries, of course, where the deadline is tomorrow. And as we approach that deadline, the number of entries really accelerates. So we're going to give you a cross-section tonight of a lot of different styles. We've got computer animation, we've got claymation, we've got puppets, we've got stand-up comedy. So let's start with the very first one here, a computer animation by Phil Slaving, Hillary's attack on free speech.
On George Washington and John Wayne all the way, and all you scum can go to hell. I'm never backing down. We're going to beat your ass. You just get that through your stinking heads.
So excited to be here, grateful for everything.
Bottom feeding trash like you.
And you're looking at her.
Go to hell.
And I'm just getting warmed up.
You baby harvesting demon.
Now, of course, this contest also inspired a live event here in Austin at one of the local bookstores. They had a stand-up comedy routine. Everybody could get up and do a stand-up comedy routine. Some of them have entered their routines into this contest. Here's one of those. Comedian Nancy Reed's best bits about Hillary Clinton.
of all the political puppets, you're the Miss Piggy. Same hair, same nose, same ankles, same treatment of any woman who crosses your man's path. Hi-ya. They asked her recently, did her State Department arm ISIS? And she said, well, that depends on what the meaning of is. Oh, and the Clinton Foundation is helping Haiti. How sweet of them. Hillary's brother, Tony Rodham, got a contract, the first one in 50 years out of Haiti, to mine their gold at half the price, half the going rate, he's paying the Haitian government. So this charity is literally a gold mine. It's an actual gold mine. She recently had the gall to say that all victims should be believed. Well, the world would like you to know, as your victims, that we are really done with your abuse. Your abuse of power, your abuse of public trust. We're done with it. One of the very brave journalists recently asked her if her husband's victim should be believed. And here's her quote. She said, well, I would say that everybody should be believed at first until they're disbelieved based on evidence. So based on evidence, you are unbelievable. You're unbelievable. You are so beyond belief.
Now, if you remember back to one of our earlier contests, one that happened right after I began work here, it was the Paul Revere contest. In that contest, Tully Blackwood did a video that got about 900,000 views. It also got his YouTube channel shut down for several months, basically put that out of business. He took on Michael Moore. That may have had something to do with it. In that video, there was some time travel. There's a lot of costumes. Michael Moore got waterboarded with tea. Well, Tully Blackwood is back, and he has a claymation in the Hillary contest. Here's Tully Blackwood's take on SpongeBob SquarePants applied to Hillary Clinton.
Are you ready, infidels?
I
can't hear you.
And won't even touch me.
He
paid his employee, Monica Lewinsky.
Hillary Clinton SquarePants.
She erased all of her emails as fast as she wished.
Hillary Clinton
SquarePants. To cover up Benghazi, or what have you.
Hillary Clinton SquarePants.
Presidential candidate in 2016.
Hillary Clinton SquarePants.
To continue a third term for Obama Supreme.
Hillary Clinton SquarePants.
Hillary Clinton SquarePants. Hillary Clinton SquarePants. Hillary Clinton
SquarePants.
Hillary Clinton
SquarePants. What difference does it make?
Allahu Akbar!
And finally, we have a Muppet-style entry making fun of Hillary Clinton. This is by Can Newsroom.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I want to be your next ruler. President! I'm Hillary Clinton, and I'm a woman. Vote for me! I'm Hillary Clinton, and 9/11. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
You got something on your face.
Who said that?
The camera guy.
Oh, there you are.
Hello, Steve TV here, filling in for Alex. Well, on today's show, we're joined by presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton. How are you, Miss Clinton?
I'm doing fine now, Steve. But yesterday was Taco Tuesday. And this morning it sounded like I was under sniper fire in the bathroom.
Interesting. You once claimed that when you and Bill left the White House, you were flat broke.
Well, stay tuned because we're going to have a lot more entries. The deadline is tomorrow, so we haven't even gotten there yet. That's it for tonight's news. Thanks for joining us. We'll be here again tomorrow night at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern for the InfoWars Nightly News.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligrams, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA, So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there.
InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.